Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a very special episode of Now Spinning. With me today, I have...
Leo Ackerman.
Jacob Zokvik.
Welcome back, Leo. It's been like a couple podcast episodes since you've been on.
They tried to lock me away. You know, they tried to put me away. They can't. I keep coming back.
Can't get rid of you.
Who's talking right now? I'm not sure. I'm a little uncertain who just said that.
Oh, yeah. I'm also Simon Medina. As far as we're aware, we'll look into that.
I couldn't let it slide.
You can't. You got to do it for me.
If I got to say my name, you got to say your name.
That's the law.
Leo, big stuff been happening for you.
Very big stuff.
Very cool.
Interesting things. I am now currently working at Impact at MSU. Go listen to Impact FM. Not to tell you what to do, but you know the
drill.
It's
a recommendation.
You take one thing from this episode,
right.
Do that.
All right. I like it. Very good.
And today, of course, we are going to be talking about, you know, the music of today, what we've been listening to lately, and what we think the album of the year is. I think it's late enough in the year where we can get away with doing this episode unless something drops.
You say
big
that,
drops
man.
In December, next 30 days.
Melody's Echo Chamber is literally got an album coming out on Friday.
Well, so. You know what? We'll come back and do another episode if you change your mind.
Also, NoFX has an album coming out on Friday, but I'm willing to bet that's not going to be album of the year. I love NoFX, but let's be honest.
I think we should probably just jump right into it then. Leo, you have an album for us today?
I do. All right.
Goody.
Hooray! All right. So earlier this year, and this is a strange start, my partner and I decided on a whim to listen to the new Justin Bieber record, Swag.
Okay.
The one where he has like Drewski patting his back throughout it, and he's like, yeah, Justin Bieber, you're so sick and you're so cool. Regardless.
He's just being a hype man.
Yeah, he was
like Flava Flav style hype man.
He was being, I don't even know if hype man's the right word, because Drewski on the record was a very like, I don't want to say reserved presence, but like he was very chilled out. He was like, yeah, Justin, so cool.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's hype in a sense of the word.
It's, we'll say it's swag, as Justin Bieber intended. And listening to that record, I wasn't huge on it. I'm not a huge Justin Bieber person. To each their own, but I really liked the production on it. I thought it sounded fantastic, and I was wondering, okay, who's putting Justin Bieber over top these instrumentals? I look into the details of the record, like the liner notes. People who worked on it, these two guys named Dijon and McGee. McGee is this, I don't know what you would classify him as. I think I would just call him an R&B artist, crazy good at guitar. I've never heard anyone like him, but I hadn't heard of Dijon. So I do a little bit of sleuthing, and I find out that a record of his, Baby, is coming out in a few days, a week, or whatever. Tap into that. It is some of the most colorful, explosive, expressive R&B I've heard in years. I mean, it takes a lot of notes from, well, first off, Prince. Yeah. Gotta mention that first. There's a lot of Prince influence on this stuff, whether it be from the eclectic production to the vocal style. Mm-hmm. Vocal style, especially. I mean, he's really doing a lot of Prince stuff on the song Rewind, on Another Baby, I think is the second
that's
song.
The one.
Just a whole lot of Prince influence, whether it be from the melodies, the harmonies, the arrangements, whole lot of Prince there. Next step, I think there's a lot of influence from like late aughts, early tens, glitch pop stuff. Mm. People like Clarence Clarity, Jai Paul, and I'm not going to say Animal Collective is a direct influence, but I think with how nasty some of the sounds get and how jarring a lot of the production
it's
is.
It's very experimental. That was my biggest takeaway when I listened to it, was just how experimental it felt to me. I didn't really connect with this one. I don't really know what it was, but you know, it's fine. It's pretty good. But yeah, just like listening, like, dude, I've never heard somebody do that before. And that really, like, okay, I could get where somebody that's more into, you know, these genres might really be like, wow, this is something really brand spanking new, you know?
It's just when you compare Dijon with the current field of R&B artists, like, say, someone like a Summer Walker, or like, we'll say it, Chris Brown, someone like that, compare him to those. He's in a completely different world.
Yeah.
Completely different world, and his stuff sounds so much more alive and emotional. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something at the core of it.
even the slow songs are pretty high energy.
Mm-hmm. It's just so inviting while still being unabashedly very eclectic and unique. Dijon doesn't compromise what he wants his record to sound like for the listener. He's just like, hey, if you like this stuff, you are welcome. Come listen to me sing about being a dad and like loving my wife and stuff.
I'm willing to bet that if a, you know, music company executive, whatever, heard this, they'd be like, ah, this isn't going to sell. Do not support this guy, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's very cool that he wasn't scared of that and did make the album he wanted to make, you know.
And the interesting thing I noticed was actually two things. You're a production guy. You like recording stuff.
A bit. I certainly wouldn't claim to be a production guy, but I know a thing or two.
Dijon's recording technique is super interesting because I think for most of his songs, he just has a room mic placed in the center of the room, omnidirectional, picking up every single sound in the room. And you can hear him walking around and like screaming, like turning his head and screaming towards the wall instead of at the microphone. You can hear like, it almost feels like a live record at points. Like, it's obviously not because it's so meticulous and it's so thoroughly planned out. But the energy he has, the energy he and McGee have, I don't want to downplay his contributions. I think he's an incredible instrumentalist and he adds a lot to the record. What they're able to accomplish on this record, I think, is like nothing short of, I'll say marvelous. That's a nice word.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm pretty head over heels for this record. Very, very excited to see where he goes from here.
Definitely.
That's, I think...
I got a couple more things to say, okay. I guess, or questions to ask.
Sure.
So you kind of mentioned earlier where he was pulling some of this influence, you think, from like the early 2010s and such. And I was kind of thinking when I listened to it too that it kind of reminds me of like Sleaze. And this plays into the other thing you're saying, but like way less clean. And like most people don't consider Sleaze clean, but like a lot of those bands, their production is technically quite clean because like a lot of it doesn't line up in a way that makes sense otherwise, you know. But this one, it's like there's a lot of the like shouty vocals occasionally and that like just high energy bits that just hit really hard. And that's kind of what I'm thinking of, you know, that makes me make that comparison. But, yeah, I was just wondering, were you catching any of that, or am I just pulling my own musical interests into it and finding the connections?
Now, when you say Sleaze, are you referring to a specific artist called Sleaze, or no, just, like, the indie Sleaze movement?
Yeah, like, indie Sleaze, you know what I mean? I was thinking of, like, another band that had a new album this year, like OK Go. There's a lot of bits where it's, like, very singy, and then all of a sudden it's very shouty in the same song, you know what I mean? And there's other, you know, like Tegan and Sarah do it too. And that's like, that's very far removed from Dijon, you know what I mean? It was just something I kind of caught. And that's when you said it, like, oh, he's clearly got these influences from this time period. I was like, oh yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm hearing that. But like I said, maybe I'm connecting it more to the artists from that period that I listen to the most, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But interesting one. It's, like I said, experimental, very interesting album.
Big thumbs up.
Big thumbs up to Dijon.
Big thumbs up.
It's very good. I quite enjoyed it. But rolling along, my album I wanted to bring today is one that anybody who's listened to this podcast at all for over the last year probably saw coming. I've talked about this band at length. Their previous album, 3D Country, I talked about that one quite a bit here. I don't think I talked about the whole album, but still, of course, today I'm going to talk about Getting Killed by Geese, which is an incredible album title and a horrifying mental image. This band has kind of taken the whole like indie scene by storm since the last time we've talked about them, specifically because of this album and like just how incredible it is.
Yeah, I believe we talked about this in... Yeah, we have to have talked about this in like 2024.
No, yeah, we were talking a little bit about it.
It should have been on the bingo card by now.
Probably.
If you're still playing the now spinning bingo, then you should be adding Geese to the bingo card because it comes up a lot.
There have been a lot of updates with them, though. I think a big difference in their visibility was actually Cameron's solo record.
Yes, yeah.
And I'm not sure how much we've discussed that here, but I think it's definitely worth mentioning.
Definitely. I was going to bring it up, actually, in like talking about the sound of this album. But like you said, Cameron Winter, his solo success has definitely brought in like a whole new audience to Geese. I think also in the way that like it's kind of combining the two audiences from like both the solo material and the band material, it's also kind of combining a little bit of like the sound of heavy metal the album with like the old like 3D country sound, because this is something very different from anything I've heard before. This band, you ask like any person who's listened to them and they'll tell you they sound like a different band. I feel like I've heard people say that they sound like, was it like Radiohead, The Strokes? I've made a list of people, things people said in order of like what makes the most sense to the least sense. Like somebody said Miles Davis, some like the funk period, like the early 70s kind of.
Maybe,
and then somebody,
Trinidad, maybe
a little tiny bit. Somebody said the Beatles. I don't really know where that was coming from, but you know, people say a lot of things.
There's so much experimentality.
Yeah,
if that's a word. There's so much experimentality to the Beatles that I think it's very easy to draw that.
Yeah,
comparison.
You can compare them to,
you know,
anything.
What I mean?
Ever.
It's like the Beatles basically invented what the modern band is. So when a modern band is a modern band, they're like the Beatles. But I don't think that's a bad comparison.
No,
there's even instrument stylings that are very similar to like how the Beatles would.
All the comparisons they get are, what I'm trying to get at though is like all the comparisons kind of add up. They're all very good comparisons. They all add up towards this being just something completely different. Nobody can really pin down if they're trying to pastiche or anything. Like I said about 3D Country when I talked about it a while back, that like you can feel their influences on that album, but like there's no single one of them that's like dominating the sound. And this one especially, I feel like you can hear a lot more diverse influences, but it, like this is even more unique in what it's doing than 3D Country was.
Mm-hmm. I think on 3D Country rather, mm-hmm. I don't think Cameron had fully found himself as a vocalist yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say his performance on the record is at all bad. I mean, he's always been a very, very expressive vocalist ever since the Projector days. But I really think that he, on his solo record, he found himself. He found how he wanted to sound. And on this record, it's like he's in a different form.
Definitely.
Completely. He isn't trying to play some like wacky character like he is on 2122.
Mm-hmm.
He isn't trying to do something like kind of mopey like he is on The Closer. He is fully and unabashedly just Cameron Winter. And whatever that means, that's up to you to decide. If you like it, if you hate it, up to you. You know, I think we're pretty clear about how we feel.
Oh,
at least
yeah,
I hope
no.
so.
He's incredible. Yeah, his voice, it can be a little bit divisive for some people, but I think he, like I said, it's all about this, you know, bringing something new to the table. It's a very unique sounding. It adds a whole new layer to the music. I also thought, in general, this album was a lot more subdued, I guess is the word, than 3D Country. Like, 3D Country had, like, a lot more energy in moments where, like, it was freaking out. But this one, I feel like it's a lot more, outside of a couple songs, is a lot more, like, less zaniness, I think. I remember seeing a video of him talking about this album. He said it's, like, some percent less zany.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the exact percentage was, but...
Do you feel like 3D Country entered in like the era of being corny or like silly? Like were they having too much fun?
I don't think it was like corny. It was a little silly, like there was like wacky having like fun with the vocals and stuff, but this one I feel like takes it a little more like seriously.
Okay.
Like Leo said, you know, his vocals are a lot less all over the place. He's not trying to like do like weird voices. He's really kind of got the same thing going for the whole album, which is it's a good voice. I quite like that a lot. I've noticed that also on this album, beyond just being like more subdued, I feel like there's a lot more like a couple slower songs. Like 3D Country was all fast, like hard rock, hitting quick. But this one, there's a couple like slower ballads that really lean into the, you know, heavy metal sound, I noticed.
And that might come from the greater confidence in the vocal performance. You know what I mean? Like a slow song, like people hear a fast song or whatever and like, oh, that's got to be hard to sing. But it's like, it's the slow songs that are scary to sing, because those are ones you have to emote and you have to like sing clear. And it's like, if you're out of tune, people are going to tell way quicker. Like maybe some of that confidence translated into the songwriting.
Definitely.
Just because it led them like, oh, okay, I can write a song like that and everybody's going to take it really seriously.
I agree. Definitely.
I think on the topic of taking stuff seriously, I think that Cameron's solo record and the response to that allowed him to be a lot more surreal in the songwriting, mm-hmm. rather than kind of cartoonish. I feel like on 3D Country, there's a lot of, as we were saying, zany moments, a lot of over-the-top moments. And while I do enjoy those moments, it does make it kind of difficult to form a deep emotional connection to it, mm-hmm. since you can tell they're definitely putting up a front. It's, you know, we're this wacky, crazy band from New York City. That's not a bad thing at all. But for what they're trying to go for, Cameron's new confidence in his songwriting and in his metaphor and in his writing in general, that newfound confidence allows him to keep these somewhat silly elements while still having a heart to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think on I'll Pay Du Cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Like a sailor in a big green boat, like a sailor in a big green coat. It's like, okay, that's very nursery rhyme, but it's he juxtaposes it with like, you can be free and still come home. It's this very strange comparison, I guess, or this odd dichotomy between Cameron Winter's surreal qualities and the real emotional core of what he's trying to get at.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like on this one especially, a lot of like the more surreal lyricism is kind of covering up like, you know, like some like very serious topics. Like he feels strongly about this kind of stuff, but like he's still trying to veil it a little bit in the not like complete nonsense words, but a lot of it is it's pretty hard to pick through. And that song, it really helps you to understand like what the metaphor, like that kind of stuff he's trying to go through.
Don't kill me for saying this.
Uh-oh.
I think a very clear comparison that we can draw with the surreal lyricism with an emotional core, Bob Dylan.
There he is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put that on the list.
Interesting. Yeah.
I mean,
I get what you mean. Bob Dylan doesn't get that nasty, but certainly he get. Well, yeah. I get what you mean. But you know what I mean? Bob Dylan's writing, it's never like meant to be perfect or coherent or clean. And that gives him a lot of room to just do whatever he wants and fit it in the song in the way he wants. And like, obviously, Bob Dylan, never afraid of making people mad. You know what I mean? And that works really well for, you know, a newer artist like Geese, where it's like they're still trying to make their name. They're still trying to be experimental. And I think that's a very good comparison.
Another point I want to touch on, the band.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. I think Max Bassin is the name of the drummer.
Yes, it is.
Most unbelievable drummer I've ever seen live.
Oh,
he's a machine.
Yes, the live show.
The entire band, really. I mean, Emily, Dominic. I'll give Cameron some credit, too. I mean, he's become a great guitarist. I'm forgetting who's on keyboards. Bless his heart.
He was
great.
Love
you if you're listening.
He was having fun.
But the entire band, they're on fire on this record.
Absolutely.
They are so... I mean, they've been playing with each other since high school, mm-hmm. from what I've read, since they were like, what, 14?
Yeah. Wow.
Something like that. So they've had time to gel as a band. And on this record, oh my Lord, you can tell. There's something else, especially live. I want you to talk about the live show.
Okay. So we, me and Leo and a couple other people, we went to go see them live back in October. And this was already my album of the year before I went to go see them live. But oh my God, album of the decade after that, like, I think it's already good. Like the songs are already good on the record, but in the live setting, they just work so much better. Like they added, like there's a whole other layer to it.
I think they're a better live band.
I would agree with that. I'd honestly agree with that. A lot of the stuff that you really don't notice on the record that's like mixed low or like something that you wouldn't really pick out really comes out to shine in the live experience. Like I noticed like a lot of the bass lines, like you don't really hear like too many of the bass lines on this album. But we went to go see him live. It was a lot more prominent. I didn't realize I was not giving the bassist Dom the respect that I should have been giving him. I'm very sorry if you're listening to this.
So they're not adding anything to the arrangement then? Are they? They're literally, you just feel like more of it is coming out? Like they're not adding any parts?
They're changing it a little bit.
Okay.
There's like, I don't know if there was like too much like jamming per se, but there was definitely, there's a lot of, they extended a lot of songs.
Was there any song that was like, okay, now there's a lap steel on this track all of a sudden out of nowhere? Was there any of that?
There was a couple songs from their last album that they just added like extended percussion breaks to. Like he was just standing there just like beating a conga drum for a minute straight, which was insane. But I think of all the songs on the album though, the one that I think hit the most compared to like a live version compared to the original would be The Closer, which was Long Island City, Here I Come. That was insane to see live. It's already an insane song on the record, but like the live version of it, if you can find it on YouTube or something, I urge you, go seek it out. It's incredible.
All right.
It felt like I was getting punched in my chest the entire time.
Oh, yeah.
It was so loud, and it was unbelievable. If it gave me a lot of... This is just like a mini tangent.
Here you go.
That song has a lot of Nina Simone influence.
Yes.
And
yes.
It is, I mean, obviously Nina Simone is a very emotive singer and artist and one that Cameron Winter holds really dearly. To combine the soul of her arrangements with the pummeling noise that they throw in that show, it's next level stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, no, like you said, there's so many influences on this band. It all blends together into something just entirely new. very excited to see where they go from here, especially now that they're being, you know, picked up by such a wide audience. Genuinely, it's not often when I can say, like, I've been a fan of this band before they blew up. Like, this has never really happened to me before, so this is very, it's a very new experience. It's very exciting to watch.
You get to experience that hipster lifestyle.
I know, I get to be...
Oh, it's so nice.
I get to be smarmy about it.
Oh, no.
You know, I liked them
before. Just don't gatekeep. One requirement. You don't ever gatekeep. Tell everybody about this.
You ever
band.
Heard of 3D Country? You ever heard of it? Yeah. That'll be me. That's going to be me for the next however many years Geese is popular.
Shout out Geese. Big thumbs up. I don't know if they're friends of the show, but they can become friends of the show if they so desire. You're always welcome.
Cameron Winter, please. Answer my emails, please, Cameron Winter.
Anyway. I'm going to sneak my pick in quick.
One more.
All just took a quick gander at the clock counting down on us real quick. I don't have a lot to say about my album of the year because I just picked it because it's nice. So it's Licorice by the artist Hatchie. Mm-hmm. She just makes amazing dream pop, beautiful music. There's a lot of albums this year. We'll talk about it on the runner-ups episode. But
next week,
a lot of albums I loved this year that had like more emotional connections. I connected to this one a little bit emotionally, but nothing major. There's some experimental elements to this album, but nothing particularly significant. And that's like, you know, maybe it's fitting that we don't have a lot of time to talk about this now because it's like, I don't feel like I have anything really specific to say, like, oh, this album blew my mind for this reason. It's just really, really nice. Super pretty. And it's not all roses, you know. Some of the songs do have sadder lyrics, but, like, I don't know that you could listen to this album and be sad.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? It's relatively emotionally neutral, but it just sounds so nice. It really dips into the shoegaze elements of dream pop in a very nice way, while really still not really becoming that genre and really keeping that like just nice, pretty dream pop sound. And I adored it. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts you want to share about it?
I mean, all I have to say about it is that it's definitely struck me as kind of like a love letter to, like, you know, Cocteau Twins and like the Sundays and bands like that. It's, you know, just a really nice time. She's a great vocalist. I think she has an incredible voice. I liked this one. I think I liked this one more than I liked her last album, definitely.
Mm-hmm. So I've got the last album on vinyl,
I know,
too.
Yeah.
I got this one day it came out on vinyl from the Grand Ledge Rural Records. Kind of friends of the show? I'm going to call them friends of the show.
Acquaintances,
at
least.
It's a good one. Go listen to it. Highly recommend. It's just nice.
Wow.
Quite a good album. Well, those are some good albums today, everybody.
Yeah.
But we're not done, I don't think. Tune in next week, and we're going to go back to this topic, and we're going to talk about our runners-up.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's runners-up.
However you, the listener, want to think of it, that's what we're going to be talking about next time. Thank you all for tuning in, and we hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Love you.
Bye. Bye-bye.